Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Random Talk Radio Podcast, the show where we like to think we know what we're doing, but every episode proves we have no clue. We're two dudes and a mic, and each week we bring you all the latest of the wild and the weird from our adventures in the concrete jungle. All that and more coming up right now. Stay tuned, you're listening to Random Talk Radio. Says it is recording now.
We're being recorded.
Oh, version 2 of this episode.
Does this happen every week?
I think it seems like it has, and I think it's only because we keep trying to do so much stuff. Like, we're all
trying to be better.
Yeah, we're all like, oh, dude, like, we could do all these things, and definitely not working out for us, but anyway, welcome back to the Random Talk Radio Podcast, everybody. My name is Levi, and on the other end, joining me by way of the wonderful interwebs, which apparently is not working tonight, Sam's man. He has told us all about his adventures living in his car, people chasing him down with leaf blowers, and all of that other magic.
Yeah.
We should do a special recording episode of, like, the lost episodes that genuinely were lost due to my shutting down. But anyway, we are here, we are back, and we are talking about the Pirate Bay founder running for president. Wait, did you just send me another email?
President. Yes. And when you were shut down.
You sent it from iwastesomuchtime.com. Love that. All right, well, that's an amazing starting point for version 2.0 of this episode. So why don't you tell me about it?
It's just a picture.
Oh, is it?
I found it on Reddit. It is an alien autopsy. But it is crocheted.
What the crap? I just saw that.
Crocheted alien autopsy. I figured you might like that one.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I can appreciate that. That's awesome. I have to actually save that.
So I actually have another article about a monopoly copyrights that I had pending for this week. Anyways,
take it away, man.
Highlighted that from the discussion on the Pirate Bay guy, because this was an article from a website called ONI, owni.eu, which I was linked to from three other hoops, but this is the actual source article. This guy, Rick Falkvinge, wrote this last year, actually about a year ago, March 2012. But he basically just breaks down how history does not support the concept that copyright monopolies are a good thing.
Right. I
mean, exactly the opposite.
What we were talking about. Let me go ahead and go. You finish, but let me jot it down so I can jump right back in there.
Because he starts all the way back at the Industrial Revolution. Copyright monopoly laws were in force pretty much only in the United Kingdom. And it's an interesting factoid. The made-in-country blank, so made in the USA or whatever, that's printed or engraved on all the goods, originated as a requirement from British customs against German-made goods as a warning label that they were shoddy goods made in Germany at the time. And it became a widespread thing. What's interesting, though, and now we have the German ingenuity nowadays. We know them for that. And that came about because Germany's engineering excellence overtook the United Kingdom. In the UK, knowledge of handicrafts, which is an awesome word, handicrafts, was expensive to come by. So anytime they wanted to get a hold of a book or a method of doing anything, like how to make this new cart or whatever, they'd have to go track down somebody and pay money and all this kind of crap. In Germany, the knowledge was available at print cost. So you got people pulling out their Gutenberg printing press or whatever and just making flyers of whatever they want to know.
Gutenberg, that's awesome.
And just spreading the information. And because of that, the engineering skills proliferated. So people are, you know, spreading information, learning things freely, you know, open source.
Right.
And because of that, people were able to advance much faster. Because if you think, I mean, if you're just some lowly stable boy and who has dreams of being a scientist someday, and you're like reading on Galileo or something, and you're just like, I want to be, you know, an awesome scientist like that, you have no chance if you'll have to have all this money and, you know, ranking in order to just get into the university to get a hold of this one copy of this book of that science. But if you're in a country where...
I think that's where we live. Oh, yeah, that's right. Welcome to America.
But see, when the whole concept of open source and freeware, I mean, you know, whatever you want to call it, the idea of freedom in knowledge, I mean, you could walk into a library and grab a book, and then you're all of a sudden, you're standing shoulder level with Isaac Newton or whoever, because you're reading the same information and you have access to the same research and everything. And that's actually, what's his face? The guy, one of the founders of Reddit, ended up committing suicide. But that was what he was caught doing when he was taken into custody, was he was trying to get a hold of research papers because they're behind like all these firewalls and paywalls and whatever. You can't just go get a hold of scientific research. You have to pay money to have access to knowledge. And it kind of makes sense because the scientists are doing work, et cetera, but at the same time, this is knowledge we're talking about. It's not like you made a cart or whatever, and then it's like, well, I want to take this from you. You want to read the knowledge of how the cart was made. You might be able to make a better cart. But the whole point of these companies now with these copyrights is that they don't want you to make a better cart because they'll go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to block you off. You have companies who do nothing but buy patents, these patent troll companies, and they do nothing but own this stuff so that you can't make a better version of whatever it is.
Yep.
And it's ruining the whole economic process.
Well, and that loops back to what we were talking about just a minute ago with this guy Sundy from Pirate Bay. To get everybody back up to speed, we were talking about the Pirate Bay founder is going to be running for basically the president of the European Parliament. But I'll read the quote again here because it's been erased. But non-commercial file sharing should, of course, become legal and protected. We must rethink copyright altogether. Copyright is not the thing that makes artists money. It's only for their brokers and distributors. And what I was explaining before everything happened, as we've entered this new age of just digital everything, I mean, even just today I was talking with my dad as we were getting ready for a barbecue today, just randomly came up on the topic, but there's no longer any, you don't physically possess anything any longer. You know, DVDs are on the way out. Blockbuster has been Netflixed. You know? terms like that you never would have imagined. You know, most people don't know that when Netflix started, like, they almost went out of business because they had such a new business model that nobody had ever heard of. They were like, well, this couldn't possibly last. And now, I mean, if you don't have Netflix, everybody's like, well, what do you do, like, for videos? Because, you know, we know Redbox is kind of outmoded, you know, because, I mean, you may or may not have the availability. But when they made the switch from, I mean, essentially when they started, they wanted to just have a DVD mailing system.
Yeah.
You know, and because there was already big powerhouses in play, they almost went out of business, but because they were able to adapt and to shift quickly, and they were able to jump onto this streaming content cart before it got rolling downhill, you know, they're now at the head of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But like you're talking about, I mean, if you patent all of that, I mean, it's knowledge and information, you know, there's no way, that'd be like saying before, you know, I can share a story with you, you know, at the lunch table, you have to pay me money because I want to make sure that, you know, whoever I share this with doesn't have access to repeat it or change the story or make it better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you know, it's where do you draw the line, you know, because everyone has all these monopolistic ideas of, well, you know, nobody should ever – I mean, it kills innovation is what it comes down to. I mean, without explaining the whole long story – you're halting innovation and you're creating a stagnant society where no one desires to think. No one has any, I mean, it's not rewarding to think freely, you know, And, I mean, to throw it all just into the conspiracy corner, I mean, that's what it's all for anyway, you know. They don't want free thinkers just running around, you know, thinking freely. Like, they just want to generate people who are smart enough to at least take orders, you know, and to function in one singular job for eternity, you know, until you wear out and break down and they replace you with the next one. It's a hive mentality. You know, whether it's business or information, you know, schooling. I mean, in order to get into the high-end schools, it's the same principle that you're talking about. You know, it's either a paywall or some kind of firewall, whether it's information or actual innovation. You know, I mean, in order to create something in this country, I mean, all the VCs you have to go through, all the committees and boards you have to present it before, whether it's patentable, scalable, doesn't matter. I mean, the fact of the matter is if you walk into a Burger King and there's a line of 20 people, you know, and there's one register open, somebody who figures out, hey, there should probably be more registers here, should be able to just, like, put the suggestion box in and make it happen rather than, hey, I had this idea for a chain that would have three registers as opposed to Burger King one, or Walmart, should we go there? Good God, ridiculous. Walmart. But, I mean, really, I mean, like, just because you have an idea, like, you shouldn't have to squash it as soon as it comes to your mind because you're like, man, think about all of the hoops I have to jump through in order to ever see this through. You know, and I was actually listening to a podcast earlier this week. The guy, he actually runs a company called the Business Innovation Factory, which is pretty cool. BIF for short. Cool. But that's his same. Yeah. Well, that's his same beef, you know, is that they have a community of almost 5,000 people now, you know, so they're gaining traction. But that's the same issue that all of them are having, that they could walk into any place having a business model in place ready to fix things, but because everything is still there, the industry standards are still these giant walls that you have to break down in order to get anything accomplished. Like, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so what we were talking about beforehand is with him running for parliament, I mean, just the fact that, like, what he stands for and what he could bring being in that place of being in charge and that kind of power, I mean, that could have a global shift over the next 10 years of exactly, you know, how people view copyrights. I mean, we're already talking about, you know, Pandora and Spotify and all these other music companies just as they are, you know, that are really empowering the artists to get their stuff out to the world without having to go through all the middle managers anymore.
Yeah.
Because it truly brings that sense of freedom. Now, I mean, if you want the super high-end quality, ad-free, everything, you know, all of that, that's fine. You can pay a subscription service, and that's per the subscriber. That's not...
Right, you get a choice.
Yeah, that's not someone forcing it on you. Okay, there's not that money wall there anymore like they were talking about. There's not all these things that are barriers. And so, I don't know, I mean, when you sent it to me, it was really hilarious. I was just like, yes, put them in. But when I started thinking about it, and maybe I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm over-frying about this thing, but just the fact that, you know, somebody who believes in freedom of information so much, you know, I mean, the whole world knows what Pirate Bay stands for.
Yeah.
You know, but I think there's really becoming a shift in the whole quote-unquote piracy view because, I mean, I've got an article hanging on my wall right here. I just realized that I have this hanging up. Do you know who Diplo is?
No.
He's a DJ, and he's the founder of a company known as Mad Decent. But they are the one who his company was the one that was behind the big Harlem Shake craze early last year. And anyway, the article here that I have, I literally have it hanging on my wall right in front of me here, but it says that they sold nearly a million copies of the song, which, I mean, wasn't really even that great of a song, but you know, they sold a ton of money on it, and they only spent like $5,000 in marketing. Now, that may seem like a lot to somebody who doesn't know anything about business, but that is like less than a drop in the bucket for what people usually have to spend to put the stuff out there. You know, we're talking middle managers and all the distributors and labels and everything. And he says, how did they do it? We gave the song away to begin. There's your free sourcing. We didn't fight pirating. and when a spark happened, we added fuel to the fire. So many labels are going out of business. We bring it back to where it counts. Realistic or releasing exciting music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's, it's been on my mind so much here because in today's world, no matter what you're doing, content is absolutely king. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter. People are so connected anymore that if it's not real, if it's not genuine creativity, like you're going to be found out and you're going to be squashed like a bug because anybody, anywhere, literally, I mean, you could be in the deserts of Kenya. As long as you have cell reception, you have access to Google.
Yeah.
You can find out if someone's trying to tell you something that's just bogus. Whether it's installing, this well that they say costs this much money, and you can look up the price of fuel in America, like all these things, anybody can be an expert anymore.
Yeah.
And with this kind of thinking, both from him and from, the Pirate Bay founder running for president, and like with SOPA, when that first came out, and all these big elite tech companies wanted to essentially get together and say, this is how we're going to run the internet now. Literally, there was a mass army from around the world that just gathered in offense to this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody organized them. There was the power of the internet for people to gather and say, if you do this, like, it's going to be the end for you. Because the mob, it's still the hive mind mentality, but like, there's enough power out there now to sway, the titans of technology, if you will,
Yeah.
And with this kind of thinking, that's all he's going to bring to the board is that, like, he's going to be he'll have the power to write it into law that, I'm going to change how all this is done. And when that happens, it doesn't matter who you are. Look at, what was her name? The gal who did the Bubbly song. What was her name?
Bubbly?
Yeah.
Colby Calais?
Yes, Colby Calais. Oh, man. Perfect success story of the budding entrepreneur. Used MySpace entirely to make her career. Finally got found by somebody who actually cared. Ended up, getting on the radio. And then exploded her career, built from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not the easiest way of doing it, but there's a lasting power there for someone who puts in the time and effort to create something that's worth somebody listening to.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first discovered it, I was like, who is this person? Because some friend of mine was listening to it from somewhere. I mean, it was literally like in the dorm room back at college, but I was like, what is this? And as I started looking into it, I was like, this is literally like the epitome of the grassroots thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I don't know. My mind has just been blown. I've been thinking about it a lot the last couple of weeks and just this article coming out and several different things that have been going on. We talked a little bit about the Bitcoin incidents, all this stuff that's coming up and going on that, is just changing the shift we talked about, being on the undercurrent of what's going on. Like, you can change whatever it looks like on the surface, but you're not going to fight what's going on, like the entire thrust of what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's like trying to hold back a tidal wave, It's just going to roll right over you. You can, try and erect the barrier at some point. The fact of the matter is, if you were opposed to it in any way, you're far too late because it's already coming now. So I don't know. Like I said, and I might be getting way, way overdone on that, but my brain's been kind of plugged into that just because I'm kind of an entrepreneurial mind myself. And the more I think about it, it's exciting and sobering at the same time.
Right.
Because yes. I know that I have to get on the ball to do this thing or I'm going to get left behind. Because you're exactly. not going to be unique anymore. Everyone's right. going to be doing it.
Everyone's doing it. Yeah, everyone's doing something. I
mean, look at what we're doing. And we're running a podcast, you know, just two brosifs, like, failing around. But we have the power through iTunes and other labels to be able to broadcast to the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. I mean, we haven't quite got the Google Hangouts thing figured out, but I mean, we could if we wanted to. We could literally run a live broadcast of us just doing our thing to whoever in the world felt like plugging in and, you know, checking it out.
Right.
And that, I mean, to me, that blows my mind. I mean, I know for my parents and, like, even my grandparents, like, it's just changing way too fast for them to keep up with. And they're like, you know, well, if I just ignore it, you know, whatever, it's going to do its thing. But the fact that I have to make something out of this, like, my generation has to get on board with this. Because if we get left right. behind, it's going to be so, we're going to be so far left behind, it won't even be funny anymore. It won't like being, it's not like our parents, you know, who have a hard time operating a computer because they don't know what the power button does. Like, if you don't know how to do some of this stuff, you're not going to be able to exist in society anymore.
Mm-hmm. You know, it'll like, all be on the new.
It's like when they came out with, you know, the ATMs for Bitcoin. I mean, not only do most people even not even know what Bitcoin is, but they don't even know that it's an actual currency that can be converted anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just with all of this stuff, I mean, I'm talking way too much about all this, but literally, like, that's why I started the podcast, because, like, my brain just, the stuff has to come out or it will explode.
Well, you know, I have an article here, actually, that I was going to read anyways, and it's funny how I didn't even think about it, but a lot of the stuff I saved to talk about this week is related. This, I don't know if you looked at it, but these guys have a startup where they created the number one rated mattress on Amazon.
I saw that. I didn't get a chance to look at it, though.
And it's everything that we've just talked about in a perfect real-world example. These two guys, Dehi Park and JT Marino, worked for a tech startup. They wanted to change something. They said they wanted to go to an old-fashioned industry, quote-unquote, and shake things up. So somehow they ended up looking at mattresses. I don't know how you come to that conclusion. If you're just laying in bed and you're like, dude, probably, we can totally make a better mattress.
Like, you know what? This mattress sucks. I need to change something.
But it's one of those industries. It's dominated by a couple of big companies. The list here, Simmons, Serta, and Sealy. Which I'm not a big mattress shopper, so I don't know a ton about it. But
no, that's pretty
I've heard those names. Yeah. And they founded this company called Tuft & Needle. And they took all the concepts from the tech ideas that they have already been working in. So they just cut out the middleman. They went right to the source. It's an interesting thing here. They talked about they posed as owners of a small mattress store and called around to vendors to uncover the real cost of making the purchases. So they went with a mattress from Merino. Oh, no, I'm sorry. A mattress. Merino is one of the guys, but a mattress, it was like $3,000 mattress. They called around, found out it would have cost about $300 to make. So they decided to take $6,000 of their own money and went to work, traveled all over the country. They pitched foam and fabric companies on a lower priced, higher quality product. And what's funny is they had never worked in the bedding industry at all. They were just tech guys. But they did the same principles where they found a product. They said, okay, what's wrong with this? What can be better? It's just basic business. I mean, they broke down, reverse engineered, if you will, what's out there, and then said, we can do it better. We can do it cheaper. We're going to do it. And they mostly sell online. They sell through Amazon, which takes 15% of their cut, and it's a third of total sales. But they don't sold in brick-and-mortar stores.
Mm-hmm.
So they make money. They're making a living online. They sell mattresses online. People don't see the mattresses, but and touch and feel it. And they're working on that side of things. But they're surviving. They're making this thing work without even having the people walk into somewhere and test the mattress because
right.
the reviews convince people, all of the information they put out there, and they've made a better mattress. And
well,
they do a better job overall.
The difference in what they're doing there. I mean, like you said, it all ties in together. My mind just goes to 1,000 different places. But the new emerging data shows that, what is his name? I forget the guy's name who says the quote, but basically you need to start before you're ready, because by the time you get there, like, there's going to be 10 other people already doing what you're thinking of doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how fast the industry is changing. I mean, mm-hmm. no matter what you're thinking about. You know, like I said, this is betting. You know, mm-hmm. like,
yeah.
who thinks about that? But
exactly.
There hasn't been an innovation in mattresses in how long? I mean, ever since the first one was designed, it's like, hey, this works. It's not broken, so let's keep it this way. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the guy I had on another show on a different podcast I've listened to. He started this new company that makes new style of wallets. I mean, there's a company that, I mean, there's an industry that hasn't been innovated in a long time. But he got tired of, you know, having bulky wallets and essentially found a way to go ahead and make it minimalist, you know, to where you could only fit so much in it. And because of that, like, he forgets that he even has it with him, you know, until he needs it. Which, mm-hmm. I mean, any man who's out there, you know, 50% of the world's population would be like, hallelujah. But, you know, I mean, the idea of shipping a product, you know, like you're talking about, they don't have a brick-and-mortar store where people can try it out. You know, they don't have all these things in place that most, you know, quote-unquote normal business models would have. But the normal business model is so far outdated anymore that, mm-hmm. like, you're behind the times if you think that that's how you need to set up a business. I can promise you, most of these people who are starting these new businesses don't even have an actual written out business plan, which I'm sure any kind of person who took business management in any form of degree would probably swallow their false teeth at this point. But, like, all that stuff has gone straight out the window, you know. And just like I was talking about the guy who runs Biff, like, That's it. And all of his research, that is what he's come to the conclusion of. Like, if you're not on top of your game where you're just like, you know, he's talking about his kid. What was it? Oh, I can't even remember what it was that he started. I don't have any of these notes. But he has, you know, I mean, his dad, he runs this innovation factory now, so he's obviously big in innovation. But he calls himself a dinosaur because his idea of starting a business is, you know, get the idea, find some funding, see if, you know, anybody's interested, put some test products out there on the market, blah, 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 all the usual ways that most people would think of running a business. You know, make sure it's going to be safe and all this stuff. His kid the other day, he has this idea, tells a bunch of his friends about it. They say, yeah, that's cool. Do you have a Facebook page yet? He goes and puts up a page, starts a YouTube video, puts up a website, in 24 hours has a back-end, you know, free hosting site through like Shopify or whatever, and he's selling products. 44 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, the kid's telling his friends, hey, I had this idea. This would be cool. If you guys would like it, here's my website. You know? I mean, that's the way business is done now.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be like super, super high. I mean, that's the thing, though. I mean, people get caught up in this idea of like, we have to make this incredible prototype that is just going to be like the wow factor of the world, but they forget the fact that it's still a prototype.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not working on the hi-fi end yet. You're working on the lo-fi to see if people are even interested.
Right, you know, yes. Yeah,
put something out there for people to test and handle and use and say, hey, I'm having all these issues, and then you know what to fix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you try to get a perfect product, you're going to waste all your time, energy, and effort on putting the product out there that you're going to be behind getting to market. By the time it gets there, there's going to be 10 other people on the market already doing exactly what you wanted to do. You know, but you could have been first to market. So, I don't know. I mean, with all of it, it ties in. You know, I mean, just even doing this Genesis Pure thing, like, oh, I guess that wasn't recorded either because we talking about before. But this new business my wife and I are doing, like, this guy, he's a doctor, you know, and he wanted to innovate how people were receiving their medications and nutrients and vitamins because he knew that the pill forms weren't working, you know. And so he's like, well, let me try this new way. And after he figured out that, hey, this is a really effective method, rather than trying to come up with, you know, this perfect business model. He just started marketing the products by saying, hey, I have a new delivery system, you know, via liquid delivery for everyone to get what they need. And, you know, even though they're only 5 years old, like the company is exploding from the ground level because it goes back to, like I was talking about, you know, you put out awesome content. You know, you focus on making it super genuine and super real. People are going to connect with that. They're going to realize, like, this is, you know, the genuine article. And they're going to promote it for you. Like, as customers, they're going to be your number one marketers. Yeah. You're not going to have to hire them. You're not going to have to pay them anything. You're not. None of that is going to, I mean, that's all going to go away. Because if it's something people can get behind, they can believe in, it makes their life better, it adds value to their life, you don't even have to push it. Like, you just make the product and make it something that you know you can stand behind, and everyone else is going to catch on. They're going to be like, hey, this is it. So, you know, there you go. Anyway, I don't know. It's something that I'm really having a fun time following. I mean, Google Alerts, for anybody who's out there, if you're not using Google Alerts, you're using the internet wrong. I literally, like, I my entire phone blows up all day long because I'm getting alerts on all kinds of stuff that I'm following with this. But especially just the entrepreneurship thing, it's not just a frame of mind or a lifestyle anymore. It's become, like, the next wave of business. It really has. You know? And, I mean, I'm not saying that, like, you know, if you work for the man or, you know, a job or whatever, that that's evil. Because if everybody was out there doing their own thing, then there'd be nobody to buy the products we're trying to sell. You know, because everybody would be flat broke, you know.
Oh, man.
And the reality of the situation is that not everybody is meant to manage themselves, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But, I don't know, I just... It's been on my mind a whole lot, so I figured we'd have a decent discussion about that. So I'm glad that went the way that it did. So, but kind of interesting, that whole scenario. I still think it's awesome that he's running for president over there. So to shift off of a less important topic, something you sent me here that I actually wasn't able to open. You have to tell me about Bardbarian.
Yes! Bardbarian, my friend, is the new mobile game that you must play. If you like any kind of electric guitar, metal awesomeness, if you like Jack Black and his style of humor, this game is for you. If you just like playing mobile games and trying them out, Bardbarian is the game you need to try. Huh. I don't like mobile games. I'll say that up front. Most of the time I get a mobile game, I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun. And like 2 minutes later, like, okay, I'm bored. Totally bored. I'm done with this. It's not fulfilling. I just, whatever. And I'll go play I'd rather play a console or, well, PC game where you can actually have a story and all this kind of stuff. Bardbarian, though, is...
Bardbarian.
The story is what's so cool. The story is about this barbarian, Brozef, who's like classic RPG, you know, awesome warrior guy. And he's like, you know what? Even though they're attacking my village right now, I'd rather become a bard and inspire my fellow villagers to be epic than actually do battle myself. So it combines these elements, and this is what's so cool about it. It combines these elements of a couple different game types. It's kind of a... defend the tower type thing, because you got this crystal that you're, of your village that there all these orcs are trying to attack, so you're kind of defending that. It has this element where you kind of, some RPG type elements, you level up, you know, all this kind of stuff. You, instead of you actually doing the attacking, your guy's like the inspiration for everybody else. So he's like rocking on his little axe guitar.
Is it like Guitar Hero where you actually have to like go through, because I mean it's a game, so I mean are you playing it or?
Well, you move your character around, and he has a little team of your little party there, and you choose who's in your party. And like, there's little guys with the archery, and there's a guy who's a little warrior, like fisticuffs guy, and there's just these different characters, and you get them in your party, and they attack the orcs in whatever way they're specialized in, and you try to, you know, mix and match different party types to, you know, whatever works best for you, and and you just keep leveling up, you get gold and whatever, but it's all based around the idea of the music and your little awesome loot. And I don't know, I just, as soon as I started playing, I was like, this game is awesome. And I ended up playing it like all day today. And me and my coworker, we're both just jamming on this little game. And I was just like, wow, I just played a mobile game for like several hours, you know, in all. And I'm impressed. Like, you know, it was a pretty fun game. And it's free to get. You can purchase in-game, you know, the gold to get more better weapons and all that kind of stuff. But you don't have to buy anything when you first get it. So that, I like that aspect too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was, what was I thinking of here just a second ago? Oh, speaking of the heavy metal side of things, I made a mistake in our last show. Eric Calderon is the guy's name who is providing all of our outro music. So shout out to Eric there. I actually messed his name up last week. I dubbed him Eric Schroeder, which is nowhere near what his actual name is because I was trying to recall from memory his website, and he has it listed as Eric Shredder. So, anyway, Eric, if you're listening, man, I apologize. We are going to go ahead and plug you away again on here on the show. If you guys haven't checked out his stuff, like we told you about last week, you can find all his stuff there on YouTube. 331ERock, R-O-C-K. Is his YouTube channel, and he's got a ton of cool stuff out there. You guys should check him out. He is our sponsored outro music for our show here, so just wanted to make that correction real quick. Eric Calderon is the one, and he is at 331ERock on YouTube, so you guys should check all out his stuff over there. Last week I featured his outro music as Let It Go from Frozen. He does metal covers for all these famous popular songs, so pretty right on. He's got some really cool stuff over there, so you guys go check it out, all his stuff. And while we're at it, if you guys want to find any of the links that we have for this, we are posting all the links and show notes over at rtrpod.blogspot.com, rtrpod.blogspot.com. So back to the show here. Tell me a little bit about this UFO documentary coming out.
Oh, now that one is the one, the only one that I did not have, I couldn't get a ton of information on. Let me see if I can pull back up.
Okay.
Basically, it's supposed to come out this week, so I'm thinking we could check it out and then talk about it more next week.
Yeah, definitely have some fun.
But it's a, let me see here.
Apparently it's like a documentary that's premiering on the 27th.
Yeah.
So that would be this coming Friday?
Yeah, I think so. Thursday or Friday. It's called Mirage Men. And apparently it's been lauded by a bunch of people about, you know, UFOs and all that kind of information. And I guess they just took and compiled a bunch of information about UFOs in different ways. And it's kind of a new spin, but also maybe some new information involved in it. And there's a ton of people on here who recommend it. You know, you should see this. It's in some film festivals and that kind of thing. With it being about UFOs, it's kind of like for it to be like winning, you know, film festival recommendations and that kind of thing, it must be pretty good because most of the time UFO and that kind of stuff is either a joke or it's just kind of off kilter. People are like, okay, whatever.
Right. But, I mean, people who sample it, you know, they're going to let you know whether it's bunk or not. So.
Yeah. But people were recommending this one. So it's actually getting officially released online on March 27th. It looks like you can rent it for like $6 or something, so check that out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make sure we check that out and figure out what's going on there. So, this is going to be on, what does it say, Yerka? Is that what the website says? Maybe I'm reading that wrong.
The website's just miragemen.com.
Miragemen.com, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Must be looking at something different here, but so we have to actually rent this.
Something to that effect.
Which means,
although I think I have seen, back to our earlier conversation, I have already seen links to a Pirate Bay copy floating around.
God bless.
So I will have to make the decision whether I should pay the $6 up front or watch it first and decide if it's worth it.
See, that's what it all links back to. Like, okay. If this is going to be worth my time, like, then I'll buy it, you know? But how am I supposed to know, like, before whether it's going to be worth me blowing my money on?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's exactly where we're at today, you know? That's the same issue with Hollywood and everyone putting all this stuff out. Like, for all we know, I mean, they could just be putting the stuff out that is total junk. But if everyone goes to the theater and pays to watch it, you know, it's not like they can just go demand their money back because it was so awful, because the theater's going to be like, well, it's not our fault, it's Hollywood's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, nobody's just going to start a riot out in the streets of Hollywood and be like, I demand all my money back for my $13 that I paid to go see it at this theater. You know, but, I mean, why does everyone have to be trapped in that web of just back and forth and back and forth and all the red tape? It's like, you know, put it out there. And if people are willing to, I mean, if they know you're going to be around, they know you're going to put stuff out that's going to be quality content, then they're going to support you and they're going to want to, you know, help you raise money.
You know what? I just, in the middle of, you know, it just hit me. Here's my $1 million idea for the week.
Dude, $1 million idea right here.
Is a platform for video content that allows you to watch the content and then make the decision while you're watching of whether you want to pay for it or not.
To donate or not.
So a Netflix-type service or YouTube, whatever, you're in the middle of watching it, and just a little unobtrusive pop-up comes up. Maybe it pauses. Maybe it doesn't even pause. It just comes up somewhere on the screen. It says, would you like to pay to view the rest of this film or this movie or this show or whatever? And you hit, you know, A for yes, B for no, whatever, you know, whatever thing you're watching it through. And you'd set it up with your credit card information and all that ahead of time. So
right.
You'd preset, you know, and you'd say, yes,
wallet or...
you know, I am enjoying this show and I'm in the middle of watching it. I could not stand it if I could not finish it. So let me press yes. And then it'll charge your card and you get to finish the movie. And if you've watched the 15 minutes or whatever preview length they set and you say, you know, this is really crap and I have no idea why I'm wasting my time with this, you just hit no, you go on with your life. It goes out and you don't lose any money on it. But they got the chance to try to get your attention, because that's what they do. That's what anybody who creates anything creative does, whether it's writing a book or screenplays. I've been reading a lot about people writing screenplays, screenwriting, and the whole thing is you're trying to pull in the whoever's reading it from the first page. You're trying to get them to just latch onto them and have them think, okay, I can't let go until this story rides out.
Right.
Even if it's like a drama or adventure or whatever, they have to know what happens. So you'll know in the first 5-10 minutes of watching whatever it is, hey, you know what? They didn't really spend the time and effort on this. I can't believe this got made. I don't want to pay for it. You know, you can press no. But like you said, if you walk into the theater, you already pay your $13 or whatever just to get a seat, you know, in the middle of the theater, and you get in there and you're like, this is not what the preview showed me.
Right.
That they put online, the little teaser trailer thing.
Yeah. I could have done just fine just watching the minute and a half trailer, you know.
Exactly. Just watching the trailer. That was all
most
the best
exciting part of the movie.
Put down. Yeah. And you go in there and you paid for, you know, an hour and a half of filler and then a minute and a half of the actual cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my idea. Is if somebody would implement that into an existing platform or create a new platform where you could pay as you go for your content. There you go.
There you go, man.
Somebody make it. I will pay.
Latch on and grab a hold of that. We need to contact Mark Cuban about that. I just, all of it ties in together. I really think we're going to be seeing a lot more of this pop up, too. I know our discussions are going to lean heavily towards this because it's something that we're both kind of passionate about. But, it, like we were talking about before everything crashed on the version 1.0, you know, I mean, it kind of squelches innovation, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's weird, you know, thinking that, like, I mean... You sit here and you think about it and you're like, okay, this is what needs to happen. And then all of a sudden you realize, like, I'm just somebody. Like, I'm no one from nowhere. And if I can think about this, if I can come up with this idea, why is this not already something that exists?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is this not a reality already? Because it should be. And the fact that we are never, past kindergarten, we're never encouraged to be creative.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, yeah. You know, good job drawing this picture. Even though it was fail poo, like the fact that they were fostering, you know, that spirit of creativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You're never told that again ever in your life. You show up to work and your boss is like, hey, you did a crap job over here. You should do better. You know, and they're not asking you to come up with a better way of doing it, even though that may have been what you were attempting. Mm-hmm. They say you did it wrong because there's a process involved.
You didn't follow the...
You should never try anything new. You know,
the three-ring binder that they gave you with all the instructions on how to make your fries or whatever it is. Yeah.
It blows my mind. It's just like, why? I mean, Lord, look at the automobile. I mean, how much non-innovation has gone into transportation, you know?
Oh, now you just reminded me. Dan sent me something. I didn't save it for this show. I'll have to look it up. But I'll just say it had to do with some kind of ion-powered engines that I was just blown away. Like
hydrogen ions?
No, it was. I don't have all the details. Basically, it's like a hover. It's like a hover vehicle.
Oh.
Concept. And it's been around since the 60s, and it's called like Iono something or others. And the main problem is just that the output hasn't been greater than the input so far. But they do it a lot in like experiments and stuff, like high school experiments, and they just like, yeah, this is cool. But it has the potential of being this projection, you know, propulsion system way, way better than the current vehicles.
And just doing fossil fuel, huh?
Yeah. And it takes electricity. And nobody's developed it because, like you said, everything's in place. I mean, you've got these super giants running everything. There's no way they're going to let you
let you into the industry.
I mean, look at Tesla, the Tesla Motor Company. I mean, they're getting attacked from every side, from people who just don't want them to overtake, and they have amazing vehicles. I mean, they're expensive, but they're electric, electric vehicles.
That's the thing, though. They have to be in order to compete, because if they weren't, and you there's that really fine line you have to walk between trying to stay relevant in the market and actually reaching the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you outprice yourself, no one will buy. But everyone who attaches to these old school business models thinks that, hey, if we undercut ourselves too much, then we won't last. And that could be true if you have crap product. But here's the difference in thinking that I'm seeing emerge. If you, say, like, I'm really big into t-shirts. Surprise for anybody who doesn't know. if you go to anybody, anywhere, who gets t-shirts printed for, merchandising or whatever, no matter who it is, I don't care. Okay, and you tell them, hey, whatever, I do not care, I don't even want to know the numbers, whatever you're getting your shirts printed for right now, at this moment, right here and right now, I can cut it at this instant by 20%. Okay? No one in the right mind is going to say no to that. Okay? And if you do that enough... Okay, then everyone's going to be buying from you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why don't people do that? Well, here's the reason why. Because there are actual guilds that will attack you and try to take you to court and shut you down if you attempt to do that. Because everyone wants to stay in the same pool and the same rate so that everyone makes the same amount of money. So no one, literally, like, the customer has no option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the consumer while you're standing at the retail edge between interacting with, people who are printing your shirts and you, you don't have any other option. You can threaten to go to a different company, but they're going to charge you the same price because behind the scenes, they've all been in bed together saying, hey, you charge this much and I'll charge this much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't understand or you don't find out those kind of dirty secrets until you start getting into the industry, such as myself. Like, that's my vision is to, start a company that undercuts all these fees, allows the product to get to the consumer. But the reason they don't want somebody doing that is because they would literally monopolize overnight the industry.
Yeah. That's any industry, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear stories all the time, the vehicles, fuel. You hear it from people with, different tech ideas. And, they get – I mean, it really is a dog-eat-dog world.
Right.
But that big dog that's eating all little dogs is basically, it's a king of the hill thing, where once he's established himself, now he's trying to just kick everybody else down as long as he can because he knows somebody can make a better product. He just doesn't want to let it happen.
Yep.
And which means humanity as a whole doesn't advance.
Right. And unfortunately, because I mean, from that guard dog idea, because there are owners of that guard dog who see that they're, you know, dominating the field and they want them to continue their ways, they will help bolster them up. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, large corporations and the government and other things involved, so that even if the little ones did manage to find a way in and started innovating and creating business the way that people want it run, they'll find some loophole or make some kind of crap up. You know, they'll do a fake drug test, you know, or whatever, and, oh, no, we got to shut you down. I mean, look at, I mean, that's kind of the classic age-old story of the DeLorean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they shut him down because of a pot bust, you know. I mean, nobody gets shut down for that, you know. But the reason they didn't want him coming out with the vehicles is because his vision was to come up with a car that was dirt cheap for everyone to buy that was going to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were stainless steel bodies. It doesn't ever corrode.
Yeah.
You know, they were easier than VWs to work on, you know, if the products had ever been made to put out there on market. I mean, everything would have been dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You could go down and buy a brand new car for $3,000, even in today's market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's kind of a whole, I mean, that whole story is really interesting if you've never read into it, but they didn't want it to happen because all the giants of industry got together and said, hey, we don't really like this guy, so we're going to take him out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't exist anymore. You know, everyone knew it was a good car. It was really cool. It was a catchy idea. And we'd probably all be driving one today if they were still around. You know, but there's just all these people who, and all these pillars in place that I think are going to start to really feel the effects of, you know, especially people coming into power. I mean, this isn't just, I mean, he's not talking about just some little chintzy website somewhere on some Finnish board somewhere. We're talking about, like, world power in the EU.
Yeah.
You know, and if that, I mean, that's, there's no way you're not going to feel any shockwaves off of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. I don't care what anybody thinks. I, for one, am excited about that because it's going to open so many doors for so many other people who are ready and waiting. I mean, look at the crowdfunding sites, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, all this stuff that's, you know, emerging. I mean, it was just in the last 5 years. Because people know that there are others out there who are looking for in crazy, imaginative, creative stuff, and they want to get behind it. You know, just like your million-dollar idea. Hey, this is our, you know, or even not even so much having a completed video, but making a teaser of like, hey, here's what we're doing. You know, and essentially that's what Kickstarter is, you know. You know, this is what we're doing. If you can get behind it, you know, pledge here. You know, but that's just going to get more and more developed and more real time to where literally, like, you can log on there each and every day to follow what people are doing. And I think that's the business model we're leaning towards anymore is that interaction of, like, a day-to-day basis of, like, hey, are you still keeping up with this? You know, what's actually going on? You know, and that accountability factor is going to go up exponentially.
Yeah, and that's true.
I really think that that's a threat to big companies because they're so lackadaisical and they sit back on their haunches just riding their wave of success because they've got this money machine in place that allows them to kind of mask behind their marketing ads and their, you know, crap business.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you look at like Twitter, for example. Twitter has thrown a huge wrench in a lot of companies' face because now they have to hire people full time to fend off dangerous tweets of people who are like, hey, your product completely failed while I was using it the other day.
Exactly.
And here's a picture of it, and here's it burning down my kitchen, et cetera, et cetera. And now they have to, like, have somebody, you know, out there who's going to be, like, putting out, you know, that fire that those people started.
We'll be addressing that situation, blah, blah, blah.
But it's everywhere, and it's instantaneous. Now, like, 10,000 of your Twitter followers have all seen this picture of this product failing, and so, you know, now the company's got to say something about it, whereas before, you would sit on the phone, you know, calling into a call center for a couple of hours,
yep.
And then they're like, well, we'll send somebody out to look at it, or, you know, we'll file that away under not gonna mess with it, you know,
yeah,
and
never
forget that. About this guy. Yeah, and I mean, what are you gonna do? You're just one person who bought a product, it fell apart, and you're like, oh well, I'll, you know, chuck it up to experience, whatever, I'll know better next time. But now, you know, as soon as something goes wrong, it's everywhere. It's all over the internet, and then it's on your Facebook, it's everywhere. And so they have to be really careful. And then suddenly they're having to, like you said, accountability has really risen because of the communication factor.
Yep.
And people can band together without having any kind of previously organized idea. And suddenly they're all like, hey, yeah, I had a problem with this product. You had a problem with this product. This guy had a problem with this product. Obviously, it's a bad product. Let's stop buying it. Let's all together find something else better. And then this guy, you know, the company is all of a sudden left in the dust. They have to come up with a better solution.
Right. And it's more than that. I mean, it's, you know, it's not only are people having a bad experience and we're going to get on a forum. I mean, you can start a podcast. You can start a webcast saying, hey, this is an issue we're having. And if you guys are having these issues, like, we're going to all band together and we're going to go beat on their door and say, hey, you either make this right or, like, we're going to take you down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's changing the face of everything. You know, and for me, you know, as a consumer, I mean, I'm a general consumer, and I don't care who you are. If you're a human being on planet Earth, whether you're the richest person on planet Earth or the poorest, at the end of the day, you still have to walk into some store to go buy the things that you need. You know, maybe you hire somebody to do it for you. I don't know. I don't really care. You know, either way, you're still consuming products the same as the way that any of us do. You know, you put your pants on the same way, one leg at a time, you know. I'm still working on developing a way not to do that so I can say that I don't. I'm thinking trampolines will be involved, but...
Yes.
I don't know. It's been crazy trying to keep up with all this, but I'm glad for the innovation because that's where my mind and my real true heart for business is at. And I'm excited to see, especially as young as we are, you know, I mean, we're both only... Are you 25 yet?
Yeah.
I know I'm 25, but I'm going to be 26 soon. I'm getting freaking old.
Dude.
But, no, I mean, like, literally, though, I mean, we're young as far as our actual lives are concerned, but right now we are in the prime of our internet lives. Like, people our age are changing the world. The guy who sold WhatsApp, you follow that?
Yeah, I saw that.
He's like 28. And he made a $16 billion sale.
Oh, man.
Okay? I'm sorry, but... Anyone who does not recognize that this age group right here, right now, is what's changing the world actively, okay, you are naive and you are stuck in your old dinosaur ways. Like, you have to become 40, 50 years old and have all these credentials and be a CEO of crap business. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. Okay? Just like I said, the guy who's running Biff, his kid has an idea 24 hours later. He's got a website with a back-end cash-out deposit that he's, you know, selling products to his friends, you know. He's over there raising money for whatever crap idea he had, just something he came up with. He's like, hey, this sounds like something that I could get behind. I bet you a bunch of my friends who are just like me want to do this. Like, let's go make some money doing it. And he just went and did it. He didn't ask permission, you know. The tools are out there now that anybody, anywhere can set this thing up and do it. You know, and if you're not going to catch that train, I mean, that's, you know, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah.
Hey, I see that
indeed.
That spark in your brain that's going to keep you up thinking all night now.
As usual. Yes. Yeah.
Got to love these conversations we have. I actually could talk about this for you the rest of the evening, but believe it or not, even after our fail attempt to get started and then starting over, we're at an hour already.
Booyah.
Good times, my man. So, because we lost the first part of the episode, I will go ahead and conclude things by giving another plug. If you guys have not heard yet or have not called yet... We still have $25 up for grabs for anyone who calls in to let us know what they think of the show, or maybe you found Bigfoot, or you have proof of alien existence on Mars and that they've come and visited you. Anything and everything that you want to talk about goes here on the show. $25 up for grabs if you guys call and leave us a voicemail. We will choose the best one, but at this point nobody's called, so if you are the only one, you will win $25. The number to
That's
call, 970, oh, you know what? What is the number to call?
That'd be good to know.
All right, so I found it here. The number to call, 970-239-1639, 970-239-1639. And again, that's $25 that is up for grabs. So we're going to go ahead and call it at this part of the show. Eric Calderon supplies all of our outro music. If you guys haven't stopped by, check him out. Super cool guy. Last week we featured his latest metal cover, Let It Go, by the cover of Frozen, the Disney movie that came out. Super awesome guy. If you guys want to check out his stuff, 331 E-Rock, E-R-O-C-K on YouTube, 331 E-Rock on YouTube. Sam, you got any parting words of wisdom for us?
All I have to say is, go play Barbarian.
Barbarian.
So it'll change your life.
I do want to play that, actually. I think I'll check that out. Where can people find you online, man?
You can find me. I'm still working on getting my channel up once I get animations going. But if you want to, if I ever do get on Twitter, I'm Morphite65 is my Twitter handle. I'm rarely on there, though.
That's all right. Morphite65 is the handle.
Yeah. Or if you want to email me for whatever weird and wonderful reason, you can email me at merlin@morphitestudios.com, which is MORPHITE studios.com.
Awesome. Well, I am at Levi Spann on YouTube and as well as on the Twitters and several other places, actually. If you type it in to Google, I actually populate a couple different places. So, but if you guys want to follow me, Twitter is where I am most active. I really don't accept a whole lot of random stuff on Facebook from people who I don't know. So Twitter would be the best place to follow me. But that's at Levi Spann. And, of course, the show is at RTR Pod. Hashtag RTR Pod. If you guys want to shout out to us, let us know that you guys are listening, that you can hear us out there loud and clear. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, checking out the show. Once again, you guys will have to find us on iTunes there and subscribe to the new host. We upgraded the show to Podomatic. A lot better service there, so we want to try and make the show better each and every time so you guys can enjoy it. Still trying to get the hang of actually getting the show recorded a whole way through, but we're getting there. But anyway, guys, until next time, thank you all so much for tuning in. Hope it's been fun for you guys. Don't forget, $25 up for grabs. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Later.